Survivor Specialist John and McKenna are back, and we are talking Season 44, Episode 9, But in the Past. John, how did you like yesterday's episode?
Honestly, McKenna, like, these last couple of episodes this season have had this fantastic, like, old-school vibe. The editing is just, like, focusing on these aspects of the game that feel more, like, genuine Survivor. They haven't been advantage-heavy. They haven't been, you know, oversaturated with, like, backstory flashbacks, and instead it's just been like real moments between the cast whiz. And I've loved these last few episodes. Mm-hmm. I've loved this episode. What about you?
I love Survivor. So anytime I get to watch some Survivor, except if it's Nicaragua, I am happy. But let's get right into it. And we're going to talk replanting idols. So we see in this episode that Danny played his idol, and then it's rehidden. And so group idol search, and Heidi finds another idol. So we'll just get right to it with Fiji.
Yeah, Fiji's the first time that we've had an idol replanted, mainly because of the way the idols worked prior to Fiji. Didn't make sense to be replanted because they weren't really played.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when we get to Fiji and we have that beautiful blow up of the four horsemen when they get completely blindsided and Mookie plays the idol, Jeff tells everyone, okay, the idol's going to be rehidden. We're going to put new clues on Exile Island. And that kind of births this era of replanted idols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the whole Exile Island idol plant is so interesting in all of the seasons because it could be on exile, it could be on your beach, it can be somewhere else, who knows. Mm-hmm. But the notes at exile tell you where to go, and every time you go to exile you get more information, so you probably don't want to be first, but you don't want to be last either. You got to get in like that fourth position there.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because if you go first, like, perhaps the first clue isn't enough. But I think if you go much later than that, then the clues will probably have been able to be deciphered at that point. Mm-hmm. I think like second or third. I think the third idol clue on Fiji for the original idols is when Earl and Yaman were able to figure out where it was. Mm-hmm. So I think like that was kind of the sweet spot in that era for finding an idol is, mm-hmm, okay, this is it. Have at her. And the idea of the idol replanting is very interesting here because, of course, Fiji's our first iteration of like a normal hidden immunity idol where, you know, you play it before the votes are read, but after they're cast, and it protects you if you get the majority of votes. And to see these plays in Fiji, especially with like Mookie playing it incorrectly, it raised a lot of questions as to what kind of rules do we have for the replanting of idols? Because is this idol being replanted because it was used incorrectly? Is it just being replanted because it was used in general? And even to this day, we don't really have an answer as to what triggers an idol to be replanted.
Yeah, I think it's basically if it leaves the game or is played, it comes back. Because I hate when idols get replanted. I'm a big person of, all right, so you found this on your tribe beach and you brought it to the merge. That doesn't get replanted. The merge idol should be the only thing that gets replanted in any scenario, is my kind of thoughts on the game. So like Danny playing the Soka idol, that should not come back into play. We should have a merge idol when they do officially merge, even though they were two separate tribes. Anywho. There should be a merge idol in play there, but we shouldn't get Danny's back in the game.
But if we even look at like the historical evidence towards idols, I don't know if we've ever had a situation where that's been the case, where an idol from the pre-merge portion of the game has been replayed and hasn't been replanted.
Yeah, it gets tricky because the early season idols, there were just one because of Exile Island, or there was maybe like in Fiji one at each camp with the cave and everything mm-hmm. like that. But in like Micronesia, there was just the one. You only had clues for the one, so the one got replanted. But it just, I feel like it just gets to be a lot with, say, like Heroes, Healers, Hustlers or Edge of Extinction, where one idol is played, someone still has one in their pocket, it gets replanted, two idols are played, two idols are replanted. I feel like if two idols are played at a tribal council, one of them gets replanted. Like, why are we throwing all these things at the fan and hope they stick?
I'm pretty sure in most instances when there's been two idols played, only one gets replanted.
I don't know.
It's a hard one to track, though, because it's so specific. And I have to, like, dig into a lot of these seasons where we have two idol plays on the same day. But even if we, like, look at Heroes versus Villains, which we deep dived last week, like, we didn't get two idols replanted at the same time after Parvati used those two idols, right?
I still feel like we're in the older school era.
True. That's fair. Okay.
I think it's, like, it just feels... Maybe it doesn't happen, but it just feels like with this newer era, and not the 40s newer era, but the new school era of Survivor, that everything is just like still out in the game. There's nothing that is like for this portion of the game anymore. It's just like everything gets rehidden, and we're overloaded.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it.
Feels like while watching.
For sure. I mean,
true or not.
I mean, I think that comes with this inundation of just advantages in general. Like, even last season when we saw
the knowledge is power.
That was referenced today. The knowledge is power. Exactly. That was referenced in this week's episode. When we, like, that came back into the game. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that last season or 42? One of the last two seasons that happened. That was last season, right? Cool. Yeah.
I hate
sometimes they blend. They blend a lot. But the point being is, like, this replanting of things, because, like, we haven't seen some advantages be replanted, right? Like, for the majority, extra votes and seal votes never get replanted. Mm-hmm. We don't see, like, an idol nullifier being replanted, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But well, we get, like,
around, but yeah.
Yeah. No, but, like, idols are the one consistent thing that's been replanted. And then we had this knowledge is power last season re-enter the game again.
Like, there could be three idols in the merge, and three idols will constantly, like, get replanted, is the thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about that. Because, like, when we look, like, again, historically and stuff, like, we've had some seasons that have had a lot of idols. Even, like obviously Samoa had the two tribe idols and then another one of them merge, which was replanted. So, like, and the question is like, does production intend to plant those at the merge anyways? Or are they being replanted in response to an idol being played?
Well, so let's take... Cambodia, because hey, we're watching that. We're watching episode 10, The Devil You Know. Just that one though, just the Sierra Boot, because it's a double episode, so we're just watching the first 40 minutes. John and I ain't got time for more.
To be fair, it aired as a double episode, but it has two separate titles, therefore it counts as two episodes.
Yes. Jeremy has two idols in his possession, which merge and pre-merge. Fine. Totally okay. But if he were to play, say, the pre-merge idol, I feel it should not come back, and Jeremy should not have the ability to get two idols once again.
Right, except he did. Because after you play that idol, it gets replanted. And that's the second one that Kelly Wentworth finds.
I know.
So, like, it's this... But the question is, like, did he play the merge idol or did he play the pre-merge idol? And, like, that's where...
Well,
that's
you would know. Because all the idols were different in this season. They made the idols all different this in Cambodia. So... It was to encourage the fake idols.
Right, of course. Right, always encouraging those fake idols. We see how well that goes, right? Survivor exactly. producers, because it's not like we had four of them on this season and not a single one of them got played.
Yeah. So, then, you know, we have Christian come into the game being like, all right, the idol is just going to be there. There's no more clues. There's no more search anymore. I'm just going to work in a grid for replant.
Yeah, which is similar to the way that Danny approached the idol hunt this time, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. Danny was kind of beasting it out with, like, five trees and then bring some firewood. You know what, Danny? Maybe you could do a little more than five trees. Like... You're spending a lot of time picking up firewood to do that otherwise. Maybe you would have found the idol instead of Heidi if you did that. But it's a strategy, and as long as you can keep track of it. See, the thing with Christian's strategy in comparison to Danny's strategy is Christian's strategy was like, stay in this one section, then move on to the next. Whereas Danny's is, I'm checking five trees, then going all the way back to camp, and... then check another five trees. And as long as he can keep track of the exact five trees he has already checked previously, sure, it works. But again, it's a lot of time spent going in between camp, and it leaves a lot of time for someone else to find the idol.
Yeah. Like, hey. Yeah. So then we get into some just, excuse me, wholesome camp moments. And we got camp life again for a moment. It did feel long because it was only about Carolyn, but it felt nice and refreshing because we're getting kind of the old school vibe again.
Yeah, I mean, this segment, like you said, it kind of felt long because it focused so much on Carolyn, but the entire Carolyn focus of it was only about 2 minutes of runtime, with this segment being, and the segment was like a short segment before a commercial break. I think it was only like 4 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was a really short. All of a sudden, I was like, wow, this is getting long. Oh, wait. It's commercial. Yeah.
But it's just, it feels so foreign, right? Like, and like Michael Carroll was saying here, it's a breath of the 39 days felt great. Like, it's the contestants are even referring to it, right? Like, this is our first day off that we get time to just sit down and relax. And we see them just genuinely enjoying each other, and that's those moments where we get to learn about survivors. We get to learn about the people playing the game rather than the players playing the game. So when we look back on the past, like, it does remind us of those older moments in Survivor history, going back to what, something like Marquesas with the morning show.
I love the morning show, and it was cut too soon because Boston Rob had to get Hunter out. But I think those moments of, like, them finding things to do, filling up time, and, like, giving a bit of normalcy to the island where it's just like, all right, we've got our radio show, we have the host, we have the person who does the weather, we, you know, it's just puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, it I'm a big advocate for wanting to see the gameplay. I talk about it all the time. And I love seeing the gameplay, but in order for us to appreciate the gameplay, we have to know the people playing the game. And
I feel like we have to know them in-game and not their flashbacks.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, we need to know them in-game, which is what we're getting here. And it was, I think, what really set this entire segment apart, where we are still kind of getting, like, that flashback to Carolyn and stuff. We also have Franny reacting to that story, right? Where it's like, hey, we have these flashbacks, but here is how this is impacting the players currently playing this game. Like, Carolyn being authentically herself gives Franny a sense she can authentically be herself. And in this format where we have the shorter time, where, you know, they're doing a challenge in tribal every single day. Like that entire segment from, I think, the Josh boot through to the Brandon boot was 3 days. That was 3 days on the island. So it's so fast. So no wonder they're like taking this breather here. They finally get a chance to breathe and they're enjoying it. And it's not a surprise that so many people are applauding this segment of the show.
I also liken it to, I'm rewatching Amazon right now. And when they swap tribes and Christy joins the new Tombaki with Dave, Butch, and Roger, she feels so seen by these guys. They turn up the lamp a little bit brighter at night so she can read lips. They talk a little bit louder. They try and make her feel included. What's funny is Christy says all this out loud in front of the two women that did not make her feel included, but that's neither here nor there. But it's just like, it's nice because you get confessionals from Butch being like, yeah, she's a new member of our tribe and I am making her feel like she is part of us.
Yeah, it's those character moments, it's those interpersonal moments that really make Survivor what it is. It's we've seemed to have gotten to a point where we often forget the social experiment of Survivor. And like, we're not going to go like,
gay
on it and be like, this is a social experiment. We're not playing a game, because they are still playing a game. And it's great having team players on Survivor all the time. But I also want to see people on Survivor. Mm-hmm. And like, we've had fantastic characters, but it feels like we've had forced character moments. We haven't had like authentic character moments over the last four seasons.
Yeah. And I'm also going to deep cut with Thailand. We're basically only naming really early seasons, because that's kind of where we get these deep character moments. I'm going to go to Thailand, where they're making the like little floats, wreaths for the rites of passage. And I believe it's the final six making them, or final five. And they're making the wreaths, and Clay has a confessional saying like, yeah, we want to do these wreaths justice because these were people in the game, whether we like them or not, we wanted to make each wreath special and personalized for that person. And he's like, you might not like the person you're doing the wreath for. And he was doing Gandia's wreath and he was not a fan of Gandia, but he wanted to do her right, because she played the game and helped get him to where he is.
Yeah. And like, those are the moments that have been missing in Survivor recently, in my opinion. It's like, they've kind of tried to give it to us with like the journeys and stuff, right? Again, it's these forced moments where they want these authentic bonds to happen. But the way producers, if you're listening to this at all, the way you force these character moments is by giving players time to breathe so they can open up about themselves to each other.
And it's not a challenge when they're struggling. Like, I don't want, maybe I want that, but like, I don't want that every season. So it's like, when, you know, we have Noelle in the net, it's like the Suri in the balance beam. It's like these moments that I feel are like shoved down us, where these are naturally happening within the episode. And I don't think we had one in our last thing that we had was the turtle scene in 41.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and like, was
our closest thing that we've had since David versus Goliath.
Maybe. I mean, arguably we have like, we've had a lot of conversation about like the LGBTQ plus members of the tribes, like connecting over that, but even the way it's
solo moments, it hasn't been full tribal like bonding. We haven't seen full tribal bonding. We've definitely had a lot of iterations of like one-on-ones, maybe people, but like we don't have a lot of just the tribe hanging out.
Yeah, I think an important part of this is like the tribe playing I Spy or whatever it is in Spanish. I'm sorry, I'm Canadian. I don't know Spanish. I'm sorry. But
boot and fresh.
Anyways, the point being, like, playing a game like that, like, people have to pass time when they're doing this. You ask any Survivor from the first 40 seasons of Survivor what the hardest thing about Survivor it is, and it's not being bored.
Yeah, it's to make those fabulous confessionals and keep moving on. Well, speaking of keep moving on, we are going to move right along to the give up food / bartering with Jeff segment here.
Yeah, I mean, this has obviously been a staple of this new era of Survivor. We've had it in each of the last four seasons. It has been a designated point in the season. And granted, it's because they're not giving them food at the beginning of the season anymore.
Right.
And, like, we'll get into that later after the challenge for sure. But these negotiations, as they're deemed, it wasn't really a negotiation. Jeff set a price. They had to meet the price.
They didn't, banter back and forth at all. Like, it just felt like, I need these people. And they're like, oh, okay.
But I mean, we've seen bargaining with Jeff for food or supplies all the way back to season 2.
Yeah. They were like, wow, we ate all of our rice. Jeff, we need some rice. And he was like, all right, great. I'm going to ransack your camp. And their camp was basically destroyed. And even Colby's luxury item got taken away.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Colby's luxury item was a flag of Texas the size of Texas and could keep them dry forever. So I understand it. It was a tarp, essentially.
I know.
He was taking away a tarp. But the interesting, they also didn't have rice in Australia. It was like the corn millet or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, because Jerry made tortillas.
Yes. But besides the point, like, that was that price, and Jeff set the price incredibly steep, so steep that a personal item was taken away.
Yeah.
And then we kind of fast forward to a season like San Juan del Sur, where
Drew Christie comes in
negotiations because somebody decided to break the flint.
No, they lost the flint.
That's right.
They lost the flint, and then we're like, Jeff, we need a flint. And he's just like, all right, well, you have to give up all of your reward. You can't just, substitute things. You get the flint. That's your reward. Okay, goodbye. And then, what do you know? They run out of rice, and Jeff ransacks the camp once again and takes all of their rewards, basically. But they're like, oh, wait, no, maybe we don't want you to do that. We can totally fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because Jeff was really hard on this stuff for a long time. And it almost seems like he's gotten a little lighter now that it's like a season over season thing. But the first instance we've really seen of something similar to what happened on this week's episode has to be Cambodia.
Yes. Cambodia, which we are watching for the Patreon, this specific episode, they have a black marble and a white marble, or rock, and you have to hold out which one if you want to compete in the challenge or if you want to get shelter for your camp. And it was horrible. It was torrential downpouring, and 5 people had to do it. Half the tribe. It wasn't a barter. It wasn't anything. Jeff was like, do it or don't.
Now, the big thing that was different about that compared to what's happening in 44, that was, there was no discussion. You weren't able to discuss it with anyone. You just had to make a decision. Are you competing or are you going for the better shelter? And
who do you think is going to compete? And how does that alter your mindset of what you do? Like, I feel like with everyone just talking it out, there's no strategy involved, because if you're Joe, you have to compete. But if you're Jeremy, you don't really have to compete.
Yeah, right. And that's the interesting thing about it. And I think I'd prefer that a lot more than what we get in 44. Because in 44, Phil said it on the recap last night, that, you know, Heidi handled this incredibly well. It started raining. She asked the question again, hey, has anyone's minds changed? So now that we know the challenge, we see it's raining, we know how hard it's going to be. Has anyone changed their mind? Heidi did play it absolutely wonderfully. But that time, and then we have that conversation where, like, Franny's trying to convince Jamie to, like, do it because he hasn't heard her name at all. And while, yes, that's entertaining in its own right,
mm-hmm.
we don't really get to see the actual philosophy of these players play in here because there's a lot of peer pressuring going on. Whereas with the way it works in Cambodia, just showing your choice, you're putting your cards on the table here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so much more important. Like, it gives like a little bit of a worry as to whether or not enough people are going to do it.
Yeah.
And B, it really goes to show how people are actually thinking rather than like people trying to game it. People trying to be like, okay, well, if like Carson, for instance, right? Carson didn't volunteer first, despite the fact that he's still not feeling well. Despite the fact that he's like knew he wasn't going to win this challenge, Carson still waited until Lauren said, okay, I'll sit out first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I'll sit out. If you have the Cambodia way of doing it, Carson automatically showing that rock, but then you also have to think about every other person there and be like, okay, is everyone going to do it? Because if you get to a point, because then you're actually deciding to sit out, right? Because I think had a fourth person not stepped up, like if Heidi didn't say, okay, I'll sit out last night, everyone's competing for immunity at that point.
Yeah.
It's way more, there are way more stakes if they have these rocks and only three people show a white rock and they're committed to sitting out of the challenge.
Yeah. It's the best approach, in my opinion. And obviously, we can't move on from this segment without talking about Angelina.
Angelina is the reason why we have this segment. Because
we know that she was the one who solely did this. She like was like, I'll sit out. I'll sit out, give you guys the rice. What a selfless thing to do.
Yeah, so selfless of her. What a great sacrifice for the entire tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina making this barter is the reason why we have this as a staple in Survivor now.
Also, go watch her TikTok. It was hilarious if you haven't seen it.
It was. But the thing is that at this point, all of a sudden, you know, Angelina's gone to the point where it's broken things down, right? You're now bartering out a challenge, and you've set the price. The price is, I will sit out of this challenge. I will give up my chances at immunity. And that's exactly what's been happening in this new era. So if you don't like this twist, if you're just not, like, underwhelmed by it, because I kind of find it just underwhelming, like, it's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like feeding your contestants the entire time, but that's just me.
I mean,
we're underwhelmed by it, it's Angelina's fault.
Well, I do feel like Aiden has a point here in his comment of game changer. She changed the entire game. Angelina for Game Changers 2.0. She's the next. I voted out my mom.
Yeah, absolutely. She's the reason why we get these negotiations. And I mean, she got off cheap. Now you need like half the tribe sitting out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get to this challenge. It's called Ball and a Jack. And conveniently, John, it's in Cambodia.
It is. Actually, this challenge has only been run 4 times now.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it's a challenge. It's another one of those challenges. We were talking about it last week where it's a challenge that
has similar mechanisms, I guess, like mm-hmm. ball balancing against something. It just is very similar to a lot of other challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That we have, like the bow, like the 10-foot pole and stuff we were talking about the other week. It just has a lot of similarities to other challenges. But I was also shocked at only 4.
Yeah.
So the first time we see it is in San Juan del Sur, and Natalie wins it. And I like this challenge. Not my favorite of the endurance challenges that we've talked about. So I'd be okay with sitting out of this one, depending on my position.
Yeah. This is an interesting one because this is a challenge that does not last long. I don't think it's ever lasted that long.
Yeah, probably not.
Because what?
Well, also, barely any people like have competed. And I think this is... Also true. Well.
No.
Never mind. Cambodia, only two people competed. Yeah, all right, never mind. Scratch that from the record.
But it's also... It's a difficult one because it's the balance on one foot thing. It's the unstable centering of like the ball and the buoy and everything. Michael said, it would absolutely kill your shoulders and lower back and abs. Like it's like a full body workout, this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really difficult. And what's really interesting about this challenge is the first iteration of it was a reward challenge, not an immunity challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it also half is a reward challenge in Cambodia too, because of the shelter, but it's also for immunity. And then we have it in Island of the Idols.
Yeah. Lauren wins it. It means Island of the Idols is not really exciting. But it's also like, that's one of the things with this challenge is we almost get to watch it in real time because of how short of a challenge it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Though, four people have competed, like four winners of this. Three of them are women. And one of them is Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Joe didn't have a petition.
Excuse me.
Just keep down. Just keep down. We all keep know it's Cosby, so it's fine. All
right.
But
I like this challenge. I
mean, quantity-wise, not quality-wise.
I think this is a good challenge, and it doesn't last long, so it will hopefully give them time to strategize when they go back to camp.
Yeah, because they have tribal council that night. We know, because Jeff says it right at that challenge.
Let's go to tribal council, and it's everyone's favorite type of tribal council, live tribal councils. And by everyone's favorite, I mean I hate them.
Yeah, it's interesting because we see the very interesting evolution of live tribals. There's a lot of discussion about what technically counts as a live tribal, right? Mm-hmm. Is a live tribal one where there's whispering? Is a live tribal one where there's like actually like maybe decisions are being made? Is a live tribal one where is a live tribal just simply one where someone stands up and starts talking to someone, not directly beside them?
Yeah, so we have the issue of kind of the Marquesas final four is asterisked a live tribal council, but like since there's four of them, nobody's like getting up and doing things and whispering, and they've never done that before. My kind of view of a live tribal council is getting up and doing something. If you're just like whispering to your neighbor next to you, that's tribal council. I don't know. But
well, eventually, right? Because like, that was the thing with the Marquesas tribal council.
It snowballs.
And that's the thing with the Marquesas final four, is they weren't allowed to whisper to each other. Jeff specifically forbade it.
Mm.
Right? Which is why they have the open conversation about like trying to figure out who it is. Also, it's also more live, arguably, than some of the other live tribal councils where people are getting up and talking and things.
Well, because
like,
you can hear them.
Well, yes, but I would say it's arguably more live than last night's tribal council because there's an actual decision being made. Because the plan was, we're going to vote out V. And Giuseppe, of course, wins immunity at that tribal council and is sick, right? So that has to be a live tribal because you have to figure out who you're voting for and stuff. But then when we get to like the epitome of the live tribal council, the tribal council that we say is like the progenitor of live tribal is of course in Game Changers with Malcolm getting up, or the Malcolm boot, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is definitely like the first iteration of it and we're like, oh my gosh, wow, like they're just getting up and talking and oh my gosh, like that was, I loved it. And I'm not the biggest Malcolm fan. So when Malcolm went home from it, I was like, woo, all right, let's get this season rolling. But it's just annoying now because you can barely hear anything that they're saying. Just give them more time at camp. Like, I don't want live tribal councils. Give them more time at camp. I don't mind a morning tribal council. I won't care. But, like, give them time to strategize.
Now, so, okay. My philosophy on live tribals. We went a long time where there were a lot of live tribal councils, like, constantly in seasons. Yeah. And since we've come back in this new era, they aren't as common anymore.
No.
So
41 was the last season with live tribal councils? Question mark?
I believe so. I don't think 42 had any. 43 definitely didn't have any. And we had to get to the final. We had to get literally halfway through the season before we got one. So I don't know. Like, it's fine. I'm fine with it every once in a while. I'm fine with it now that we've evolved from Game Changers where it's like, oh my God, all these people are whispering to each other. What are they saying? To, hey, would you like subtitles? I'm sure you'd like subtitles, right? So you kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct, producers. I do want subtitles because I do know what's going on. And I love that, like, in this week's episode, Jam Jam says, cue the subtitles, and we get subtitles after it. Wonderful. Wonderful editing. Thank you for letting us know what the whispering is going on. Too bad it amounted to literally nothing.
Yes. And, like, we also see it in Edge of Extinction. The Julia Carter boot is, like, one of the most remembered, aside from, like, Malcolm and maybe Michaela. Like, we have the Julia Carter boot. And that's the whole pilot passenger blow up.
I mean, that's got to be one of the best tribal councils ever, though. Julie just, like, going up, nope, I'm switching. It's fantastic. It is a great moment. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's kind of like, once you get to that point in a live tribal, or with live tribals, you don't really want anything else, because we kind of, when we get to live tribals again in Winners at War, they're kind of bad. Because those were terrible live tribals. Because it was like, hey, we're going to go stand over here and talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Which does kind of seem to defeat, like, the purpose of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, like, pretty much it. We saw one with the Karishma boot, but that, I feel like Karishma was always going in Island of the Idols. Natalia and Alec during the Natalia boot and David versus Goliath. He talked to Elizabeth, like, people who he wasn't on the same tribe with. So, I hate live tribal councils.
I find, like, give me, like, one a season. Or, like, one every two or three seasons. I think we were at a time now where when you watch an episode of Survivor, you're like, I can't remember the last time this happened. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do this week.
So, patrons, we are watching episode 10 of Cambodia, like, Selling Your Soul to the Devil. We are only watching the first part, the Sierra boot. But I feel like Cambodia has been a real good example of just this season so far. Mm-hmm. Because it is high gameplay. We have Jeremy playing an idol for Steven, where, you know, Danny played his idol for Franny. We've had a lot of just, like, same to sames. We have Fishback's advantage in this season, which was a previous advantage that got voted out with. So, like, there's a lot of crossovers. And I'm happy to watch Cambodia. I tried to watch it last week. But still happy to watch.
We got more parables to it this week.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Basically the exact same situation with the exact same challenge. So what more could you ask for? So head on over to the Patreon tomorrow. John, the schedule for the rest of the week.
Yeah, schedule for the rest of the week. We have, of course, Phil and Alexa recapping every episode right after it airs on Wednesdays. Okay, and I are here on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Become a patron, because We have so much content coming up. It's the end of the month. Great time to become a patron because we have extra content coming up with the retrospective and the Q&A. That's a very interesting questions. Both did drop yesterday. Both are live on the Patreon now. Q&A, of course, for the $5, $10, and $20 patrons, and then that retrospective for the $10 and $20 patrons. $20 patrons also get Phil's after show, which is also great. And then...
Phil, he is a soundbite machine.
Exactly. And then on Monday, Phil and Alexa will be doing their predictions and power rankings with James from 43.
Woo! All right.
So that'll be a good one. He's kind of been making his circuit on the podcast lately, and he's got some great ideas. He knows Survivor well, and that should be a fantastic episode. So make sure you hit that like and subscribe button and ring that bell so you know when they go live on Monday.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. And watch the Patreon episode, Cambodia.